Sit back and enjoy this best of Cooking in the Dark.
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know, Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Kimball would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy smoly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Kimball.
Hey, everybody. Man, nice crowd on this beautiful, what is it anyway? Somewhere around the end of January, beginning of February. Can you believe 1 month down?
I
11
know.
To go.
Pretty scary.
So, do you have any big plans for next week?
Next week?
See
why?
How you're going to be off?
I am? Oh, you mean the big surprise thing where the guys will be preparing dinner for that big celebration there in February?
Yeah, that thing called, aren't guys suckers day? I mean, Valentine's Day.
All I'm going to say, girls prefer diamonds.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're doing the cooking, big boy. Yeah. Next week, man, I'm looking forward to it. Tim will be joining me in the studio.
Yeah.
He's always cool because, you know, he always brings a 12-pack with him.
That's true. He does.
I enjoy it. Of course, then that means you get the night off, because after we do the show, then he hangs around, me and him and Sammy and Eddie and the boys, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we're on their bus going somewhere. They get us in trouble. It's not our fault, you know. We're blind. We didn't know.
That's a really good, not really acceptable excuse, but you can try it.
The sighted people don't know it works. All the time. All right, y'all. But before next week's big show, the big Valentine's Day show, we're going to do, Cheryl requested we do this a couple weeks back, a diabetic show. Now, we used to try to do one of these, man, once a month, and I don't know what happened. Things got crazy.
It
seemed like every time we turned around, we needed a show for this, or this was going on, or that was going on, and, you know, it was just out of control. But I think we've picked something pretty cool today. Give him a hint. Where's Bessie? Bessie? Yeah. Bessie is going to be one of the stars today. Today's show, y'all, we're going to do a mushroom stroganoff, a mushroom beef stroganoff, a beef mushroom stroganoff. It's prepared a little bit differently. Now, shows past we've done on here, you know, Cheryl, we did that old poor man's beef stroganoff.
Yeah, which is very good.
You know, with the condensed soup and, it's great in a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent over, man, over pasta, over Chinese noodles.
Right.
And this one is no different. I think we're going to serve this one. We'll boil some pasta to go with this one.
Mm-hmm.
This recipe, though, y'all, you kind of make it in three stages. But I digress. We'll talk about that in a minute. Cooking in the Dark. Let's talk about the listserv.
Ooh. They're really, and this is a good thing. I mean, it's an active list. People are really involved. You get a lot of recipes. Any types of questions, there's always somebody there
great
who
ideas,
can answer
y'all.
Your questions.
We couldn't do the show without the list, because that's where all these recipes come from.
That's true.
They come right from that list. They are awesome. And I tell you what, if you get on the list, when you get on the list, let me change that, not if, when, you will not have an excuse. This is a warning. You will not have an excuse for not knowing what to fix for dinner, breakfast, for a snack. And we are not responsible for weight gain.
That's even more true.
Either one of those will get to me. I want to hear from you. I want to know how you're listening to the show and where you're listening to it. Be part of the crowd, man. Be part of the many. You know, Cheryl, we're coast to coast.
International.
Border to border.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas, it's about as far south as you can get. Canada, about as dang north as you can get.
Uh-huh.
Los Angeles, can't get much wester than that.
Which?
Wester, is that a word? It is now.
For you it is, yes.
All right, yeah, we're going wester. The hell's west or I don't know. He's crazy. Just let him fuck. And east, man, you can't get much further east than Virginia. Maybe Massachusetts.
Yeah.
That's a little further east. New York City.
New York.
You know? You know, we were at Super Bowl party. We had all kinds of people there, Cheryl. All mixes and matches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This one gal, she kind of spotted this good-looking dude across the room, and she kind of saunters over to him and starts talking to him, and yeah, and blah, 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 blah. And he can't get a word out, you know? She goes, I bet you can't guess my name. And he goes, well, what is it? And she goes, well, I'll give you a hint. I was named after what I like the most. And he goes, okay, I don't know. I give up. And she goes, my name's Carmen. I love cars and men. And he goes, oh, what a surprise. My name's Carmen, too.
Oh, no.
Ah, he was the queen of the ball. No, all right, y'all. We'll be right back after that bad, bad joke on cooking in the dark with some beef stroganoff, diabetic style.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all, we're back. You know, when I first read this recipe, I thought, wow, this one might be a lot of work. And then I reread it a little more closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be that big a deal, Cheryl.
I agree. The list of ingredients seem long.
Seemed overwhelming.
But the actual process of putting it together, as you said, it's like a three-step process. And it can be done, I think, pretty easily.
Pretty easily. Yeah. So I'm going to start slicing up our round steak.
Mm-hmm.
What I've got, y'all, is a beef top round steak. Now, round steak, as y'all know, or maybe you don't know, round steak is kind of tough. So round steak is not real good for getting to throw on the grill or to cook in the skillet because it will be tough unless you get a meat tenderizer and just pound the heck out of it. But if you cook it slow and easy, I mean, there's a great recipe where you take a beef round steak and put all kinds of seasonings and stuff in it and you roll it up, tie it shut, and then you throw it in a crock pot.
Ooh.
And then smother it with like some spaghetti sauce and some other stuff and just let it cook real slow.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out really good, nice and tender. So that's kind of where we're going to be at today. One of the first things we've got to do with this is we need to slice our beef round steak down. So I'm going to slice it, and what I'm going to shoot for is about quarter-inch strips. To do this, the easiest way, y'all, it's going to sound crazy, but roll your steak up. Go ahead and trim the fat off. And you can kind of feel, on a round steak, you can kind of feel the fat around the outside edges. It'll kind of peel off, if you will.
Okay.
Then roll it up and do like a big roll. And then just slice it like you would, say, a big piece of bread or something like that, depending on how big your steak is. Now, I think the recipe calls for like an 8-ounce steak.
Yeah.
Which is not that big. So even if you can just fold it or double it over, you know, or fold it instead of rolling it, whatever. But that'll make, instead of having to try to slice all the way down that steak and keep your cuts kind of uniform, it's easier to roll it up and make one slice through it. And you're going to be pretty close to being uniform all the way through.
And,
so,
and this is where having a nice knife set is very useful.
Oh, a nice sharp knife. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, because this, yes, it will definitely help in this process.
Santa baby. Okay. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just kind of slicing right down and through it using my finger as a guide, my thumbnail, or actually my forefinger fingernail. I've got my finger kind of sticking straight up on the meat. I'm using it as a guide for the knife blade to find where I need to start my cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going through finger guards. They fit on your fingers kind of like a ring. One fits over the tip of your finger. The other part fits over the next joint up. And it has a bend in the middle of it for your knuckle. So it gives you nice protection when you're slicing like this. All right, Cheryl, go ahead and read the rest of this recipe. I'm going to continue to slice here.
Okay, so here we go. 8 ounces top round trimmed of fat. If you bought this from a butcher, could you get the butcher to trim the fat off for you?
Yeah, I think you could. And again, there's not, the fat on a round steak is pretty much around the outside edge.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he would trim it off for you if you ask him to.
Okay.
Without a problem.
Right.
And then plus, when you check out, you won't have to pay for it.
Three teaspoons of extra virgin oil, one large onion finely chopped, 3 cloves garlic minced, 1 tablespoon all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons paprika, 1 14-ounce can of reduced sodium beef broth, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 2 red bell peppers sliced, 1 pound button mushroom sliced, it's going to be about 6 cups, 1/4 teaspoon salt or to taste, freshly ground pepper to taste, 1/4 cup reduced fat sour cream, and 2 tablespoons freshly chopped parsley. That's it. That's cool. All you need.
That's all there is to it, y'all. Yeah. So let's get cooking, huh?
Let's get cooking.
All right. Now, to start off with, we're going to start off with our beef. We want to put about a tablespoon of oil, of the extra virgin olive oil, in our skillet and bring it up with about a medium heat. And what I'm using, y'all, instead of a... this recipe calls for it to be cooked in a Dutch oven. Now, a Dutch oven down in Australia, mate, for our friends down under, it's called a campfire stove. Basically, a Dutch oven is just a heavy iron pot or a heavy cast iron pot. Well, I don't have one of those, but I do have a heavy cast iron skillet. The other thing with the Dutch oven is the lid fits on it really tightly. I guess so, you know, when you throw it in the campfire... You don't end up with a lot of ash. All right, I won't say anything. I'll let that go, dadgummit.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bad to have ash. Yeah, I like that word. Ash.
In your food, yeah.
What happened? He got a bunch of ash in his food. All right, so let me get this here thrown in.
Now, did you say tablespoon or teaspoon? Because it says teaspoon.
Does it? Okay.
It does.
I said
just,
tablespoon.
I know, but you know, you're from everything's so much larger in Texas.
Of course.
Yeah.
Did you know that heaven's only a local call away?
I heard.
All right. Yeah. Got our oil in the skillet. Got our meat in the skillet. Let it come up to temperature here.
And I think you just wanna brown the meat, and it says about 1 to 2 minutes, sort of turning it back and forth. Once you've put it in the pan.
Once you get her going, get the rest of our meat here. Bessie's not being cooperative. Yeah, you're not. Your goal here is not to cook the meat through. It's just to kind of put a nice little browning on it.
Yeah.
Because when we're going to end up baking this for quite a while, about an hour and a half. This is kind of one of those things, you get it prepped, get it going, then you've got time to kick back. And, you know, actually, I mean, this would be a great recipe to make for Valentine, y'all. Maybe a little early Valentine's show.
Yeah.
Because it would give you the opportunity to get it going. And then be able to kick back and, you know, talk to your date. And
you can socialize a little.
Socialize.
Bring
out. If you're not a good socializer, if that's not your best part, you probably don't want to do this recipe.
Well, you could distract with appetizers, you know.
Yeah.
You bring out
a lot of wine.
Yeah, wine and a little bit of food.
Can't so beat that.
You could talk about all the work you did preparing the great appetizers that are right here.
Throw a little flour in your face. Oh, that's a lot of... Now, the problem with that is, you know, if your date's blind, she's not going to see the flour in your face.
That's so true.
I hate it when that happens.
You'll have to tell her. You know?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Cheryl, too. I just read where in 2009, the government's going to start shipping out all the weirdos.
Oh, boy.
Start sending them out of the country.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, when I read that, I thought of you. So, run, girl, run.
Well, I might get a better offer.
Go to France. All the weirdos are in France.
I might not want to run. I might, you know.
I might just, I might meet the bus.
Yeah.
Heck, that's too funny. All right, now, for the second part of this, while that meat's browning, I'm going to have to dice up an onion and some garlic. Let me get this onion here. Cut off both ends, the root ends, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And it says kind of a fine dice.
It did. It said sort of a mince, yeah. It's so, I was just thinking, you know, whoever first discovered onions and decided you should cook with them, I take my hat off to them.
Yeah.
I say, what a smart person.
That was Peugeot Luigi. He got tired of eating them raw.
It
was actually an accident.
Yeah, it could be.
It's available in History of the Onion, Part 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's currently a foreign film being shown in France. So here we go again, y'all. I've cut the onion in half after I've rooted it, and then I've peeled off. I kind of like, you know, instead of trying to peel off the dead layers first, I like doing it after I've cut the onion in half or in quarters, depending on its size. This onion's about baseball size. I know, maybe a little bit bigger than baseball size. And again, it's a white onion. So what I'm doing is just slicing it down into fairly thin slices, strips. And then I'm taking a few of each of those, and we're just kind of dicing them up. You kind of hear the knife. I'm just picking the knife up and just chopping right down through them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get a few more of them here. And I'm taking these slices after I've sliced the and I'm cutting down through them perpendicular to the original slice. And then with each of the rings, they just kind of all fall into nice little pieces. And if they're not all exactly perfect and exactly the same size, shame on you. Get another onion and start over.
I
want you to write on the board 500 times, "I will not slice an onion unevenly." Welcome to Campbell's Cooking School.
I was going to say, we're taking away that wine glass from you.
Hey, man, give me my wine back. We're drinking a nice Merlot today. All right, let me flip our meat over here a little bit. We're not sizzling, y'all, but there is fire in the stove, man. Fire!
But we want to take the beef out, right?
Yes.
And set that aside.
Once we kind of get it browned on all sides.
Right.
I'm just kind of flipping it over. And the other thing with this round steak, if you cook it all the way through on the skillet,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be kind of tough. It'll take a little more cooking time in the oven.
Right.
And that's one reason why the cooking time on this is an hour and a half in the oven, because you need that time to allow it to kind of tenderize your meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's that old adage, cook it long and slow.
Yep.
And they'll never go. Cook it quick and short.
Uh-huh.
You're in for a tort. You know, illegal getting sued.
I can see a tooth or two vanishing.
Yeah. It's a tough crowd, man.
I think I've had that experience where, like, you know, you've cooked something and it's some sort of steak or beef and you're sitting there going, wow, I must have missed a step because <Yes.
laughs>
this
well,
is really
man,
intense
chewing.
He used
to get a big old London broil. All he looked at was the size of the meat.
Right.
Huge hunk of meat. And he's got it on the grill. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's going to take forever, you know, to get that cooked. And on the grill, by the time the inside cooks, the outside is going to be
nice and charcoaly.
Yeah, man. You're going to have to go in the garage, get the heavy tools out, carbide tip bits, get through that crazy stuff. I mean, you know you've cooked it too long when the hockey league doesn't even want to use it for a puck. Oh, no thanks. It's too hard.
Yeah, they're a little suspicious. No, we don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd been perfect for writing on cave walls, but we're not going to eat it.
So, I don't want you to tell us, Dale, but do you think for the Valentine's show, you're doing sort of a appetizer, main course, dessert type of concept there?
There will be a dessert.
There will be a dessert, okay.
That's who's coming to dinner. No. Yeah, we're going to do a nice entree.
Yes.
And actually, I think I have an idea of what we're going to make.
Okay.
You wanted me to spill the beans?
No, I think if somebody's interested, they should listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be a little fishy otherwise.
Yeah. Oh. I know. Wasn't it last year you guys did chicken cordon bleu?
Chicken cordon bleu.
Blue. Yeah. Pink. Green. Whatever.
Chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chicken wasn't real proud about that. Blue's not his favorite color. Otherwise, it was all right.
Right. And then did you do like a shrimp cocktail? I don't remember. It was some like...
Yeah, we had a shrimp cocktail, and we had the mousse for desserts, and our appetizer was a real cool little cream cheese and crab appetizer.
Oh, there
you
go.
Easy. And, you know, and one thing's for sure, y'all, you know that I'll be pulling out the old heart-shaped cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. All righty, y'all. I'm going to take the beef out here. I'm just kind of spooning it out with my slotted spoon. And now we want to try to keep as much of the juice and the oil in there. All right. And the method I'm using, y'all, I'm just kind of scooping it from 12 o'clock down to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of lightly shaking the spoon to allow it to some of the, you know, the juice and the liquids to shake off. Then I've got a plate sitting next to the burner, to the immediate left of it, because I'm on the right-hand burner. Okay, got it almost out. And we're fixing to enter step two, y'all.
Alrighty.
So why don't we take a little break here? We'll come back with step two of beef stroganoff, beef and mushroom stroganoff, the diabetic method.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark, Mushroom Beef Stroganoff, Diabetic Style.
Like a sick cow on steroids.
Yeah.
All right. Now here, I'm adding the onions in, put a little more oil in. We're adding our onions. We're going to let those saute for a couple minutes here. Now let me dice up some garlic.
Yeah, about 3 cloves of garlic.
Okay, for that I'm going to get out my garlic slicer. I found some cool little things that I thought we'd lost.
Uh-oh. Well, that's good. What did you find?
Yeah. I found a pot that I didn't know I had.
Uh-huh.
And I found another little garlic slicer that I'd lost part of mine, so I was able to replace it because they quit making them, you know?
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but it was cool finding it.
Yeah.
And I also found $100. Well, not really. That's just wishful thinking. Okay, I've got my garlic in my little garlic slicer here. For everybody that has one of these, you know how cool it is.
How does it work? What do you do?
It's kind of like a mini mandolin.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like the size of a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got a little head on it that you put your garlic in.
Right.
And you just slide the head up and down. It has tracks on either side of the ruler, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little slicing blade.
Oh,
so one side will slice, mm-hmm. the other side minces.
Oh, cool.
So you just put your garlic clove in the little head.
Right.
It's got a little finger guard.
Right.
And you just let it, boom. You just move it back and forth and go to town.
Wow.
Really cool.
Very nice.
Oh, I like it.
Because I remember at one point on the Cooking in the Dark list, there was an extensive discussion on how to slice garlic.
Oh, garlic's a trip.
Yeah. You had to get off that outer skin and get down to the bulb and make sure you're actually slicing that. And oh, boy.
Yeah, you just want to pull a little clove off and then you want to peel it.
Right.
And heck, the grips mitts are pretty nice for that. And then I've got this great odor bar. It's a finger odor bar. It's just a little stainless steel odor bar.
Mm-hmm.
But you run that under cold water with the bar and your fingers and it'll eliminate all smells from your fingers, all those nasty garlic smells.
Hey, unless you like garlic and you don't mind.
Yeah, you know, unless, you know, if you don't have a vampire in the family, it's all good. Okay, Cheryl, we've got our onions in there sauteing.
Onions are sauteing. Now you need to add the garlic, the flour, and paprika.
Okay.
And it's just a tablespoon of all-purpose flour that you're adding.
1 tablespoon, yeah. A little paprika. Was it like 2 tablespoons of paprika?
Oh, no, like 2 teaspoons.
2 teaspoons, okay. I always want to put tablespoons of stuff in, don't I?
You do.
If you're going to add a little, add a lot, Mom. Okay, 1 tablespoon of flour. This will help thicken it up a little bit, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did we do any salt and pepper, too?
Not yet, because you're going to put in the broth. The mustard, okay. And then you put back the beef.
The beef. All right, flour's in, paprika's in. Now the mustard, how much mustard?
2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard.
2 teaspoons.
Two teaspoons coming up.
That sounds like just a couple squirts to me.
Yeah. Somebody sent out a recipe for that, like how to make your own Dijon mustard.
Oh, excellent.
That was really interesting.
Was it easy as you thought, or is it... I didn't see that.
I thought it was pretty straightforward. I don't remember looking at it and thinking, oh, I would never make that. Like it was.
You just start off with yellow mustard?
Do you know what? I can't even tell you. I don't remember. But it seemed really... It wasn't bad at all. I probably saved it, because I thought it was intriguing enough to try.
Cool. Okay, we've got all of our ingredients in.
Did you put the broth in?
Broth is in. Mustard's in.
Beef?
Beef is going in.
Uh-huh.
All except for that little piece there that I just ate.
Oh, somebody told me that they're going to make a movie of Julia Child's life.
Wow.
Meryl Streep?
Really?
Is going to play Julia.
Wow.
So that'll be interesting.
That will be very interesting. Oh, Julia. When I think of her, I think of Saturday Night Live did a skit, you know, about her.
Oh, it's and the chicken. Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always think of when I think of Julia. Okay, we've got our all of our ingredients in here.
Right.
Kind of stir them around a little bit.
Right. Oh, and our oven should be preheating at 325.
325.
So that's like a nice temperature for a long... sort of
for a long,
cook.
Slow bake.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I do ribs, I like to do them at about 275 for, you know, several hours.
Right.
Kind of wrap them up and just let them go. Okay, putting a little salt and pepper on there. Okay, now put the lid on and let that simmer. We will preheat the oven to 3 1/4. Then the cool part is, because this is a cast iron skillet, it's going to go right in the oven.
Exactly.
With the lid on, and then we just let it bake. Slow and gentle. All right, y'all. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back for phase 3 of beef stroganoff. The diabetic method, man. Or just the diabetic... man, it's good. This is going to be good. You know, and one thing I want to mention, though, before we go to break, y'all, is diabetic recipes... every diabetic is different. So just because it says it's a diabetic recipe, you need to check with your physician or check with your dietary plan to know if you can have this or not. Some diabetic recipes claim to be diabetic, but they will have a little bit of sugar in them. Some have a little bit of honey. So know what you can take and know what you can tolerate. Don't just say, oh, that's a diabetic recipe, so I can have it. Check it out. Make sure you can. All right, y'all. Enough of that gabbing. Let's go. Break time.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all. We are back. Now, we're getting ready for step 3 of our diabetic beef stroganoff. The first step, basically, was to prepare the beef. The second step was to prepare, I guess you could call it, and kind of call it the vegetable portion.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
The onions and the garlic and the broth, if you will. And then we combine that, and we've got that simmering on the skillet right now, in the skillet, on the stove, getting ready to transfer it in the oven. I wanted everybody to come back, because after we transfer it, we're going to hit the old time machine, because we need to bake this for about an hour and a half at 325. And what that will do is it will cook the meat, but it will cook it nice and slow. And actually kind of allow it to tenderize itself, which is totally what we need.
And I was going to say, with the nice, like, solid lid that's on there, it's cooking in the broth, and it's like the broth is not going to evaporate, basically, while it's cooking.
Right.
So you're still going to have a lot of liquid in there when you're done.
That's one thing. If you cook with a lid on, your liquid is going to stay in your skillet. Now, whenever you use a cast iron skillet, whether you're just cooking with it or not, cooking with it, baking with it, whatever, you need to definitely use pot holders whenever you touch the handle, touch the skillet, because the whole skillet will crank up with the heat. The whole dude gets hot. All right. Now, we're in the oven. We're in the oven now. Oh, well, I tried to sing that song earlier. It didn't work.
No.
Last week.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We were sufficiently traumatized by last week's experience.
Yeah, when that person out there, I said, what'd you do with the money? I said, what money? And she goes, the money you're supposed to spend on singing lessons. I was like, all right. Learned my lesson, I guess.
But you know what? We admire you for the constant attempt.
Oh, yeah, I'm always going to be trying.
Yeah, we're quite impressed.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know me, I ain't backing down, man.
Not at all.
Sometimes that's a bad thing.
No.
Sometimes it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've got 2 bell peppers here. I've sliced them open, sliced them in half, basically, and I've cleaned out all the seeds and the hanger downers. And I tell you what, why don't we go ahead and if everybody would fasten your seat belts. I think we're going to jump ahead. Why don't we jump ahead about an hour? All right, here we go. Everybody keep your hands and feet inside until the time machine has come to a complete stop. Hello? Is there anybody out there?
We're here. The
All
audience
right.
is over there. So.
Dang. We didn't lose them.
I know. You were trying. You're trying.
I know. Well, right there, did you see me about 30 minutes? I pointed to the left and went to the right.
Yeah. They're smarter than the average beer.
I know it.
All right. It's,
you know, what they don't realize is they're an hour older and they didn't get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, part of the hazards of coming to the show.
This is so true.
Okay, now getting back, our bell pepper is still sitting here, if you can imagine that. So what I'm doing is just slicing it into nice, thin slices, probably about a quarter of an inch wide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm going to turn my attention to our white mushrooms. And again, we're doing the same thing with those. And the way I slice the mushrooms, I start on one side of the stem, and I'll make a slice, depending on the mushroom, maybe two, up to the stem, and then I'll turn it, and I'll slice on the other side. So I've always got that stem. My last slice is right through the middle of the stem and through the mushroom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking for here is about 6 cups of sliced mushrooms. Go ahead and use the stems. If a stem falls off, stem falls off. He's out. Sorry. You go to the garbage disposal, not to the dish.
All right.
We don't tolerate that, monkeying around. And again, these mushrooms, slice them, I don't know, maybe an eighth of an inch thick, quarter of an inch thick, something like that. Kind of depends on you and the size. What these mushrooms are white button mushrooms.
Yeah.
And what I got was just the 16-ounce package of them. We just kind of wash the caps off, and slicing away we go. I need to get me a boy Friday or somebody. Girl Friday.
You mean a sous chef?
Yeah, somebody that can sue somebody.
The person who gets to do all the chopping and everything.
All the prep work, yeah. Man.
Did I tell you we saw that movie Ratatouille?
Ratatouille is awesome, isn't it?
It is hilarious. I mean, you know, the rat who wants to be a chef and all this great funny stuff.
As we're getting to the bottom of our mushrooms, finally.
Right. It's very cool.
Now, y'all, the reason we fast-forwarded was part three of this recipe. We're going to cook our mushrooms up. And when we do that, our mushrooms and our bell peppers, we... Then we'll take those, mix them in with the meat, and we'll add some sour cream, and then it's time to serve it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to jump forward real fast so I can get this going, and we'll get a pot of water going for our pasta.
Oh, very nice. Any particular type of pasta, like bow tie or...
Actually,
Linguine? Or...
No, it's just regular. It's small egg noodle.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But it's the no yolks.
Oh,
it's
that's...
It's noodles made without yolks.
Oh.
I love them.
Really? I gotta
and
try that.
And you can
that.
Usually get... Yeah, try it. Check them out. Now, there's two brands. There's the no yolk,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another, I forget what it is, whites only or something like that, you know?
Okay.
But there's two different types. I think by you doing well, of course, it's all relevant because it depends on what the grocery store carries that Peapod
right.
serves.
But, right.
But they have the thin egg. They have the white egg. They don't have, like, macaroni. They don't have spaghetti, linguine,
okay.
fettuccine, different things like that.
Right.
And, hey, man, I you know... Penne pasta. Penne
pasta. Penne.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's become one of my favorites, too. I love for the little tubies, you know?
Right.
How stuff can slip inside there. Goodies.
Well, that might be a nice option, because whole wheat pasta can take a little getting used to.
Takes a lot of getting used to.
So the no yolk.
No offense if you enjoy it, but man. Been there, tried that.
Yeah. So the no yolk might be a nice option, too.
Yeah, I think so. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit better for you.
Right.
Okay. Last mushroom, I think. We'll do a quick inspection, but I think that's it. What we're shooting for is about 6 cups of these. And we'll head back over to the stove. Okay.
Reach in here into the magic drawer. Got to go under the pots.
Ah.
There it is.
Pulling out a second skillet.
Our chicken fryer.
Oh, good idea. Good idea.
I just like it for, you know what I could use? Too late, I already got this out. I could have pulled out the wok skillet.
Oh, okay. I have to commit to using my wok this year. I have a beautiful wok.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of kitchen decoration right now. It's sitting up on top of my counter, on top of one of the cupboards.
Well, I know where you can get some great stir-fry recipes.
Tell me.
Cooking in the Dark.
Oh, that is so true. I should just send out a list.
Yeah, just send out a note.
I mean, what I'm saying, a message. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then be prepared. Okay, so I've got some oil in the skillet here.
So you put in like a teaspoon of... So this is the third teaspoon of olive oil that we're using.
Yes.
Yeah.
Third. This is the third.
The third.
Can you say third?
The third. Yeah.
The third. I'm going to let that warm up for a second. And, you know, while I'm at it, let me get a pot out here. We'll get the pasta going. Okay. Put some water in that. Now this, I'm going to fill the water up. It's a 12-quart pot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to fill up the water about halfway with the colander in it. Makes it nice.
Oh,
so then when you're done boiling, all you got to do is pull the colander
out. Up. Yeah.
Reach in there. Okay, that's about right.
So that person was a genius.
This on the back burner.
Whoever designed that pot was a genius. And then whoever designed the other type of pasta pot, you know, with the sort of strainer on the top.
Yeah.
They're geniuses, too.
I am. Thank you.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
All right.
What a surprise.
Our red peppers. Those in there for about a minute. Hey, man, if you're giving credit, I'll take it.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose you can. I mean, you're the one who told me about the pot with the colander thing in it, which I love.
Oh, that's not awesome or what, huh?
I love that pot. That's a nice pot.
Okay. Flipping those around. Oh, yeah, man. Can you smell it?
That's a delicious smell.
Yeah. It's going to get better. I'm going to do a little adding of my own to this.
Uh-oh.
Okay, dump in our mushrooms. We're going to let these go. Now, here's what I'm going to add in of my own.
What are you adding in of your own?
About a teaspoon of garlic powder. Just because we can, and I like it.
You like garlic powder.
Okay. Now, we're going to let these saute for about 5 minutes.
Yes.
And then for the big combination trick, we're going to let these just kind of cook down. Now, what we're going to do, y'all, in a minute here, we're going to pull our stroganoff out of the oven. We're going to add, after these cook for about another 2 or 3 minutes, we're going to add the sour cream to this, stir it up, and then we're going to dump this in to the meat mixture, stir it all up, pull the pasta out, and serve it. That's all there is to it. Hey, you know, I think we've got time. Let's run over that garlic bread recipe real fast. I don't know if we'll have time to actually make it on the show, but I'll make it for everybody here in the audience.
Oh, okay.
It's a diabetic garlic bread recipe, y'all. Very cool, very easy to do. Basically, you want to take about 5 pieces of day-old bread and cut the crust off of them. In fact, heck, I'll do that right now while we're letting our mushrooms cook. We've got time to get another chopping mat out. That's what I love about these chopping mats, Cheryl. One's messy. Throw it in the sink, grab another. Well, I had 5 pieces of bread laying out here.
This, Dale, as you're looking for the bread, I can read the recipe.
Okay.
So here we go. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 4 slices day-old white bread, 2 tablespoons grated Parmesan cheese, 2 cloves garlic minced, 1 teaspoon dried oregano. That's it.
Cool. Now, what you can do if you want, instead of doing the 2 cloves of garlic, substitute a little garlic powder.
Okay.
Maybe 2 cloves garlic, maybe about 2 teaspoons. There I go again. Okay. Now, what I've done is I've just cut the crust off of this.
Right.
You want to cut these in about 3/4-inch thick slices.
Right. Yeah, because you're sort of going to make garlic bread sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got 3 slices out of that piece. Let me get these others here. And, of course, bigger bread, littler bread. I mean, French bread, y'all. French bread would be awesome for this, too. Okay. 2 sides. There's another side. What I'm doing, y'all, I'm just kind of basically finding the edge of the bread with the knife and then just slicing straight down. Hey, that came out pretty good. All right, now, here we go. We're just going to guess again right about there. And what I do, the first slice that I cut off, I lay that on top of the bread and put one edge against the edge I just cut, and that allows me another edge to cut on. So therefore, all of them will come out being roughly about the same thickness. There we go. Okay. One more here. All right, now here what we're going to do, we're going to cut off this side of crust. We're going to cut off this side of crust. And we're going to cut off this other side of crust. We're only cutting off 3 sides. All right, now here we go. Get that piece of bread that I just sliced. Put it on top. There's my edge to slice. There's my edge to slice. Set it up there. There's my edge to slice. And then the last one will be cutting off the crust on that piece.
Oh, good idea.
All right.
Good idea.
Now, what we want to do is we want to take our grated Parmesan and our garlic powder or the minced garlic,
right,
and put those kind of together in a bowl. or in a bag. Shake them up. Shake them up, baby. You know, if you want to put them in a little Ziploc, that's cool. If you just want to put them on a plate, shake them up, mix them up, and then put them on a plate, that's cool.
Yeah.
What you want to do is dredge your bread, basically your olive oil, put it on another in a bowl or on a plate, a small plate. Dredge it through the bread, or put the bread, just basically, instead of dredging it, just lay the bread on it.
But lightly.
On each side.
Yeah. Just yeah. You don't need to, like, absolutely soak the bread with the olive
no,
oil.
No, what you want is just enough to get on the bread, because then you're going to take your bread and dip it in the garlic and Parmesan mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it on your cookie sheet and bake those at a 325 degree oven for how long? About, what did it say, about 10 minutes?
About 13 minutes, and you could do the oven a little hotter, maybe like 375.
Okay.
For about 13 minutes, and voila, garlic
Perfect.
Bread sticks.
Little quick garlic bread sticks. Now, definitely, y'all, French bread, when I read that the first thing I thought of was an old, a loaf of day old French bread or something.
Mm-hmm.
Slice that down into like, quarter inch, half inch thick slices. That would be absolutely delicious. All right, y'all, let's take five right here. We're going to come back, put all this stuff together, and we'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all. Here we go now. I'm adding the sour cream in. Now it's low-fat sour cream, half a cup, 8 ounces, into our mushroom mixture, our mushroom and red pepper mixture. Let me set that off to the side. I'm going to reach in the oven here and pull out our meat, putting my grips mitts on because I'm not going near this fuego in here, man.
No sizzling Dale today.
No sizzling Dale. Sizzling Dale is a thing of the past now that I have my grips. And these are so thin, Cheryl, I can even feel the hole in the handle, at the end of the handle of the skillet.
Wow.
The cast iron skillet. Pretty cool. All right. Take that lid off there. Now, here comes the cool part. We're going to mix in our mushrooms with our meat. Kind of line these two up together. What I'm doing, I'm just tipping the skillet that the mushrooms were in.
Right.
Right in the middle, so it's kind of right in the middle of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the mushrooms are going first. Then we're going to come back and stir all this mixture up together, kind of just flopping. And again, when I stir, y'all, I kind of go from the outside into the middle. This is going to be delicious. Kind of just fold the outside into the middle so that all your actual mixing or stirring, if you will, is towards the middle of the skillet.
Right.
So you don't end up with a little bit in the skillet and a whole lot on your countertop.
Right.
Not good. The pasta's done, Cheryl.
Ooh.
We're mixed up here.
Right.
I'm going to add a little salt and pepper to this. Throw a little fresh parsley on here that we've diced up.
The bread's going to be done. Yeah.
The bread will be done in just about 2 minutes. I think we're good to go. All right, y'all. Enjoy this meal because it is surely delicious. All these diabetic recipes are great on Cooking in the Dark. See y'all next week.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com. Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions.
About the clouds when we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.